This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to talk now about a new study about women and the workplace.
And to start, we're going to use a clip from the former NBC show 30 Rock.
Not to say you should be taking life lessons from Liz Lemon, but in this scene, Liz, played by Tina Fey, of course, is at a corporate retreat with her boss, Jack Donaghy, played by Alec Baldwin.
Now, they're doing a team-building exercise. The team's mission is to build a model train out of Legos. There's no assigned leader, but it's not long before Liz Lemon takes charge.
2 minutes.
Oh, don't stop talking, Jack. Always be talking. Damn the pockets, Joan. Prashant, your job is to watch Joan. Say something, haircut!
Well, you can't have more wheels on one side than the other.
What
it goes on top, it's a smokestack.
Woo! Yeah! Suck it, nerd!
All right, so her team won, and maybe Liz Lemon needs to take a few lessons in sportsmanship. But the question we're asking today, and this did not happen in the episode, but the question we're asking is, how much credit would Liz have taken for leading her team to victory?
If she'd been asked to evaluate the team, would she have rightfully claimed credit or given it all to Jack?
Now, this is a serious question because a new study finds that women are more likely to give credit to male team members, even if it means diminishing their own contributions. So why is that? And what impact does this tendency have on the workplace? Well, joining us now is Michelle Haynes. She's assistant professor of psychology at the University of Massachusetts Lowell, where she's also an associate at UMass Lowell Center for Women and Work. She's co-author of the new study on women and work, and there's a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Michelle Haynes, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so let's start off by sort of unpacking a little bit of what you found in your new study on women and taking or giving credit in the workplace. First of all, what inspired you to look at this certain aspect of how women do their work?
Well, this work actually grows out of an original set of studies where we were interested in how other people, so we call them third-party evaluators, evaluate individuals who work in mixed-sex teams. And in fact, we found that men were more likely to receive credit from other people who were doing the evaluations than women were. So I was actually sitting at my computer, and I had contributed to a sort of a group project myself, and I had gotten this glowing feedback about a symposium that we had submitted for. And as I was sitting there reading the email, I thought, wow, those other folks must have done such a good job for us to have gotten this amazing feedback. And then I had that light bulb moment. Oh, my goodness, maybe women do this too as well. And so that sort of sparked the series of studies that are reported here that you all are.
So basically, you were thinking about other people and not perhaps your contribution to that pool.
Yes.
That got that excellent feedback. Okay, well, so that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So let's look at exactly sort of how and what you discovered in your studies. You basically got college students, men
right.
and women, and you made them think that they were working on a task that involved a team. And you split it up into a bunch of different groups. So talk to me about the first sort of set of findings.
Okay. So in the first study, what we did was we had men and women come into the lab, and we told them that we were interested in sort of the merits of sharing work responsibilities when people work remotely, because telecommuting, so that was sort of the cover story. People work remotely all the time. What happens when they work remotely together on a joint task? So we had men and women come into the lab. They received a packet of information. They were told that they were going to be working with their partner, and the best of both. So even though they wouldn't be interacting, the best of both of their work would be combined, and they would produce this overall evaluation.
Okay. And in some of the studies, let's say the women study subjects were told that their partners were men.
Well, in the first study, all of the women, they were always mixed-sex teams. So
okay.
The men always thought they were working with women. Women always thought that they were working with men in that first study.
Okay, even though it didn't really matter because there was actually nobody on
there
the other side.
There was actually no Got other it. Person on the other side.
Got it. So in that first study, what did you find?
So basically what we found is there were two different conditions. One in... So they always got feedback that the group had performed excellently, but half of the participants got information about how they had performed only as a group, and then the other half got information about how they had performed individually as well. And basically what we found was that when women received only the group feedback that they actually evaluated their performance less favorably than they evaluated their teammates.
Okay, so this is interesting. So when women did not receive specific feedback about what they did,
correct,
and only heard about what the group did,
correct,
they evaluated their male team members as having contributed more?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Indeed. So it's not that women said that they did horribly per se, it's just that they said that they did well, but their teammates did better.
Okay. And in this study, you found that what really caught my eye was it wasn't just that women were saying the men were doing better. A knee-jerk assumption would be that the men were taking more credit, but that was not the case.
No, that wasn't the case. In fact, when you looked at the male participants' responses, and I will admit that we too were pleasantly surprised, that in fact men gave themselves just as much credit as they gave their female teammates. So it wasn't a matter of there being a difference between the conditions because the men were overvaluing per se. It was really about women devaluing their contribution in that group feedback condition.
Okay, and this had to do with mixed gender teams.
Correct.
Now, what did you find when it was same-sex teams?
Right. So if you proceed along, by the time we got to the third study, we thought, well, what happens when women work with women? And it turns out that when women work with women, even when they only received group feedback, they did not engage in this devaluation effect. They evaluated their own contribution just as favorably, if not more favorably, than their teammates.
And did you see that same behavior amongst your male subjects?
So the third study was only with female participants.
Okay.
So basically what happened was in that first study, we had a whole series of theoretical reasons to believe that women would do this in this particular context and that men would not. And so study 2 and 3 was only female participants.
Okay. So before myself, me and other listeners lose track of how many studies are going on here.
There are quite a few.
Yeah. I just want to be clear that the real takeaway in the second sort of case that you looked at is that when women were working with other women, or thought they were at least,
indeed,
they were more accurately assessing themselves or willing to take more credit for individual work? What was really going on?
Accuracy is, in the context of this set of studies, is a little bit difficult because there was no actual performance. We had to construct this task that was very believable that we could give them false feedback on in terms of their performance, and they would believe it. Okay, so it's not necessarily about accuracy.
Okay.
But in the context of women working with women, when they were asked to evaluate how much they thought they had contributed to that excellent outcome, how much they thought that their partner had contributed to that excellent outcome, they essentially were equivocal.
Okay. So listeners, we are talking with Michelle Haynes. She's an assistant professor of psychology and an associate at the Center for Women and Work at the University of Massachusetts Lowell. She's co-author of a new study that took a look at how much credit women are willing to take for their work when doing collaborative or group work, both with mixed gender groups and same-sex groups. And her findings are rather remarkable. It turns out that women don't take credit, or maybe as much as they could, when they're working in mixed gender groups. So have you seen this in your workplace, listeners? Has it happened to you? Have you given away credit when you think maybe you should have taken it? And why do you think this happens? You know, are women just more modest or socialized to not take credit? Or are there other issues here? And I actually also want to know, is this such a bad thing in the modern workplace, when so much work has to be so highly collaborative all the time? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment online at our website, radioboston.org. Michelle Haynes, rather than diving in too deeply into the specific of the rest of your study, because it's all very, very interesting, but again, listeners can go to radioboston.org and read it in detail. I want to know what you thought of the findings when it turns out it seemed you have pretty robust data here that when women are in mixed gender groups, they're giving credit away or saying, actually, I'm looking at one of your charts here, and it says basically that in one of the groups, around 60% of women said that their male teammate actually performed better than they did.
Right. So,
what was your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction, I'm afraid that these are actually our hypothesized sort of, these are our hypotheses. So it's not as if we were necessarily.
Oh, so let me rephrase. What do you think the implication is?
There are plenty of implications. But if you don't mind, you had mentioned something about modesty, mm-hmm. and I just actually wanted to pick up on that.
Sure.
Because I think that that's an interpretation that some folks actually jump to. And the issue is this. We don't actually think it's about modesty. And the reason we don't think it's about modesty is because there were plenty of situations in which women did not do this. And that's very important to keep in mind, right? So when women did get individuating feedback, they found out, they got feedback presumably about how well they had done. They didn't have a problem taking credit for their work. When they worked with another woman, they didn't have a problem taking credit for their work. There was another study in which they had gotten some, they had been given reason to believe that they would be successful in this type of task. And as a function of that, the effect went away.
Right. So if the modesty had been an issue, it would have been across the board.
Exactly. Right. So we really don't think it's about modesty per se, but we really think that sort of stereotypes and the internalization of those can really sort of be the causal factor.
So much so that it's expressed in these group work situations.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of research that suggests that, you know, we apply stereotypes not only to other people, but we apply them to ourselves as well, and that can have a host of repercussions in terms of how we evaluate ourselves.
Okay, so one of the findings from your study is there's one that I wonder if you think we could actually extract from your study and really put
sure.
in the real working world, because you've said it a couple times now that when women received individual feedback about their work in particular, mm-hmm. that this sort of giving credit away behavior disappeared,
right.
regardless of the gender makeup of their group.
Right.
So it seems to me that may be something that if we pulled over into the real working world might help tackle this problem.
Absolutely. So, I mean, one of the reason why it's important, I think, to look at processes and why things happen and when they happen is because it's when we know how and why that we can start to stop them, essentially. So providing individuating feedback certainly is one of those situations. So how might you accomplish this in the context of a group? If you and I are working on a project, if you take part A, I take part B, well then, if we have this very successful outcome, clearly we've both contributed, because otherwise it would be impossible. The problem is that oftentimes group work is a little bit on the ambiguous side, and so it's not necessarily divvied up in that very explicit way, and that's where problems kick in, because you have this sort of ambiguity about who's doing what.
Mm-hmm.
If you can start to parse out tasks within the context of group work, then you might be able to get this individuating feedback.
So maybe a different form of evaluation, different structure for evaluation. Well, it's interesting because your study was the focus of an article in Cosmo magazine, I believe,
mm-hmm.
actually. And the title of the article was The Monumental Screw-Up That Women Are Making at Work. And I understand that you take issue with this title because it's heaping all the blame on women.
Right. So I think that the implications of the work of this particular research, there are implications for women. And I do believe that there are things that women can potentially do, partially being more aware of this kind of effect, that would help sort of mitigate the consequences. But I do have serious reservations about placing the onus of responsibility on women. So AKA, if women would just stop doing these silly things, then the problems would go away.
You do know you're saying this in the era of Sheryl Sandberg Lean In.
I do. I think that that's part of the reason why this story has sort of bubbled up to the top, right? There's a national discourse right now about what women should do, whether they should lean in, should they lean in, et cetera.
But isn't this, we've had lots of conversations about Sheryl
yes,
Sandberg
I'm
on this
I'm
show.
I'm sure.
But isn't this a specific example of, and I'm just pushing you here a little
That's
gently,
okay.
Of, you know, her exact point that this is a case in which women are undermining themselves?
Yes, I think that that is a specific instance. I think that the danger lies in making it the only source of the problem. So I think that this is a piece of the puzzle, and I think it's something that we have to be aware of. And I do think, I'm not sure it's about leaning in per se, but I do think that if women realize that they are apt to engage in these kinds of processes, if they are more cognizant of the fact that we rely on stereotypes, and it's not just women, if individuals in general are more cognizant of the fact that they rely on stereotypes with others, with themselves, then presumably that might encourage a sort of deeper processing of information. Mm-hmm. And we know from a lot of literature that when we process information more deeply, we have a tendency to rely less on heuristics, but actually produce accurate evaluations.
Listeners, I'm talking with Michelle Haynes. She's an assistant professor of psychology and an associate at the Center for Women and Work at the University of Massachusetts Lowell. She's co-author of a new study that takes a look at how much women take or give away credit in work and team situations. There's a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. So upon hearing this, listeners, do you think women ought to be raising their hands more at work and saying, I did that? Or maybe it's the workplace that should change to come up with new and better ways to recognize contributions within groups? And again, I'm also curious about whether or not maybe we should be looking at this from the other way around and finding women's behavior to be the thing we ought to be adopting more of when it comes to teamwork. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Would love to hear about your experiences when it comes to group work in your business or personal experience. Let's go to Salem, where Jessica is calling. You're on the air, Jessica.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your thought?
I think that it's partially the socialization of women, that we're taught to put others before ourselves, and especially in the dating world, we're taught to put the male ego before our own.
And do you feel like you've personally have heard this message in your life?
Absolutely.
And
you know, men are afraid of like being made fun of or being mocked by women professionally and personally.
Jessica, thank you so much for your call. Michelle Haynes, your response to that?
Well, I think that Jessica makes an excellent point that we do have this sort of socialization. It starts from the minute we enter the world. And so I think that that's certainly part of what contributes to this internalization of stereotypes. We learn very early on not only what other people think men and women are like, but also how men and women should be. You actually raised this interesting question about should women run around saying, I did that, you know, at work. This set of study doesn't actually address that self-promotion aspect, but there is a lot of literature that also suggests that, you know, there are penalties when women self-promote. So women often find themselves in this double bind. You know, if they don't take credit for things, well, that's potentially a problem because that might impact their self-efficacy. They might be less likely to take risks at work, et cetera. On the other hand, if they run around sort of self-promoting, then they might not be liked very much.
I hear you.
Right?
I've heard about it. I mean, we talked about this exact same bind on a number of issues with women and work. But I have to say, sometimes it frustrates me because it's not that women are powerless in this situation.
Oh, right.
I mean, so you study this. You've taken a close examination of it. You're at the Center for Women and Work at UMass Lowell. I mean, what would you recommend that women do? What's the best way of operating in the workplace?
Well,
when it comes to this credit issue, let's
right,
say.
When it comes to this credit issue. So just, again, to be clear, this set of studies was about women's perception of their own sort of contribution.
So maybe that's the first place
right.
to
so
start.
So that's a piece of it, right? Definitely a piece of it is being aware and encouraging a more accurate representation, self-evaluation, when you have when you have participated in a group project, really not relying on heuristics and trying to make an accurate assessment of how much you have actually contributed to the extent that that impacts your self-esteem. Women are definitely not powerless. Absolutely not. It turns out, though, however, when we're talking about sort of the highest levels of organizational life, unfortunately, the reality is that men are much more proportionally represented than women are. And so that really creates... It's difficult. It is a difficult ladder to climb. Although I know ladder, different people like different images. Jungle gyms, ladders, webs, labyrinths.
Climbing structure of
right.
some kind.
Exactly.
Let's take another call here. Gretchen's calling from Jamaica Plain. You're on the air, Gretchen.
Thanks so much for taking my call. And this is such a great story. And it reminded me of of my experience being a graduate of a women's college, and it reminds me that probably women's colleges are still needed today. I went to a school where all the women who accomplished anything that was accomplished by women. So the people who got the A's in classes, the people who were elected to student government, the editor of the newspaper, they were all women. So I lived in a world where I was just took that for granted, and it has helped me so much, being a lawyer, all the things that I've done since college, because I just assume that women can achieve and will be recognized, and taking that attitude everywhere I go has really been, I think, a very, very important thing. And I'm sad that women still don't give themselves enough credit and give each other enough credit. I wonder if that's a part of it, too, that we support each other. But happy that you're doing the research, and happy that there are still women's colleges so that folks can have this experience.
Gretchen, thank you so much for your call. And very interesting that her years in college set a different kind of template for her that she took out into the working world. But she also asked about, you know, maybe women ought to be supporting each other more when it comes to this credit issue. What do you make of that, Michelle?
Well, let's see. I, too, actually went to an all-women's college, so I know exactly what Gretchen is talking about. Should women be supporting each other more? I would say that the answer is yes, but I think that when we're talking about this kind of context, it becomes I'm not sure that the context of this set of studies, that comment applies per se. But certainly to the extent that women can be more supportive and more encouraging of one another, and really taking credit, encouraging each other to take credit, et cetera, is something that is likely to mitigate the experiences.
So in the last couple minutes that we have, there's been an underlying assumption in this conversation so far that I want to just address head on. And that is that this not taking credit behavior is a negative one. That's how sort of I've been approaching it. But I wonder, in the modern day workplace where so much is team-based and so much is collaborative, and it's really the outcome of what the team does that for a lot of cases matters more than anything else, maybe this female tendency to give credit to others is the direction that we should be going, because it's not so much about the individual's contribution, but rather the team as a whole. And I wonder what you think about that.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really interesting question, and I think that there are a couple of pieces. So in terms of measurement, I think that there's a difference between giving someone else more credit and taking equal credit. Right. And so I think that to promote the types of collaborative structures that you're talking about, taking equal credit to me seems like that should work out just fine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to me that it would necessarily be beneficial to defer credit per se. Right. But in terms of the actual, I've already lost.
No, it's quite right. It was a big question about, you know, whether or not putting the benefit of the group above of individuals.
That's right.
We just got a couple seconds to go.
Right. I think that's part of it. But I think that giving equal credit is what we should probably be striving for, as opposed to deferring our accolades as women.
Well, Michelle Haynes is an assistant professor of psychology and an associate at the Center for Women and Work at the University of Massachusetts Lowell. She's also co-author of this new report on women and credit in the workplace. There's a copy of it at our website, radioboston.org. Michelle Haynes, thank you so much for coming in and for the fascinating research as well.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
Listeners, let us know what you think about this and if you've experienced it in your life or work, again, at radioboston.org. But for now, stick with us, because when we come back, surf rock. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.